Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rebel Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning it is. What's today? October the 5th, 2022, Wednesday. Good morning, guys. What's up?
Good morning. Great to see you. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. So you guys are from Tough Luck, tattoo shop, which is totally awesome. Got the best name, right? Coolest merch. And by the way, thank you for the merch.
You're welcome. Of course.
I do love a good merch game. But yeah, it's great to see. We got Chris Dilworth and Matt Brownlee. What's up, fellas?
Good morning.
Did I get it right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't have Alzheimer's. I feel like I do. It's crazy. Well, listen, it is a rainy day. I thought maybe we would sort of be coming out of this Ian aftermath. Ian's well hydrated, right? We've definitely gotten a lot of rain.
Yeah, the ground is sufficiently squishy.
We're good.
It's moist.
I do think this is the last day, but who knows? I don't know. I got up this morning, went for a nice run, cleared the mind, and I was excited to sit down and chat with you guys. So let's go. Well, let's get into it. So Tough Luck, how long have you been open?
Since 2005.
Yes. 2005. Let me do the math.
I think it's 18, maybe. Yeah,
18 years. 18 years. Yeah. Nice. Same spot?
We started in a small spot where Surf Bagel, the end unit, which was 300 square feet.
Okay.
And then we, at year five, I was going to either commit or just I just was losing my mind because it was so tight. It was just 300 square feet, and it was like a prison cell. Yeah. So I was like,
these four walls.
Yeah, these four. And like, I just was, and I said, look, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to have to just stop if we can't find a different place. So we found a place down the street, which is right by Grotto Grand Slam on the highway.
And yeah, we've been the there right.
since, yeah.
It's so funny now that you mentioned that. I remember, I think you guys had a couch outside. Did you guys just kind of hang out outside of the little spot?
No, we never had a couch.
Well, I remember you guys being at the end by Surf Bagel and just kind of hanging out.
It was a bench, yeah.
Oh, sorry, bench, couch, yeah, sorry, whatever. Sorry. It wasn't a big luxury couch, but I remember you guys kind of hanging out outside.
Yeah, just a little.
In that sort of like tattoo shop vibe.
Yeah, hanging out because there was no room to hang outside.
couldn't put your feet out.
No. Yeah, it was funny. The bathroom was almost as big as the areas we were tattooing in. And it was fun. It was fun for while it lasted.
Well, is that typical, like, through, you know, your time doing tattoos, you come across, I don't know how many different shops you guys have worked at, but working in small shops. I mean, you know, I'm in the hair business. Mm-hmm. I've worked in big salons, right? Big luxury assistants. And you're just like, yeah. And then I've worked in these pretty stripped down versions of what I do. And I guess both sides have their, you know, their ups and downs, or plus and minuses, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, your shop's bigger now. I like the shop. I like the new shop. I've gone in. It seems like it's got allows people to have a little bit more individual spots and kind of have a little personality going on in there.
Yeah, that's important for me to be able to have everybody kind of be their own individual.
Yeah,
because we have a very diverse crew of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't like when it's everybody's the same way. You know what I mean? I like.
Well, and I think that's the cool. When we were sharing a little bit prior to this, that, you know, yeah, I am in the hair business. You guys are in the tattoo business. A little different, but a lot the same. The cool thing about I think our business is, you know, if you want to work hard, you can build a book, right? But the unfortunate side of it is you have a little freeness, right? You have that. I have days where I'm like, I'm not that busy. I could basically block it out and split, or I could sit here in the little room or the bigger room and be like, I'm just going to grind it through. And it's sometimes that freeness of it can work against you or for you.
Yeah. Because, it's definitely one of those things where I've been there many times going, I just go to the beach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can just take off and,
yeah,
you know, fool around. But I think it's... for you, maybe you same way. It's like when you really love to do something, man, it's hard to walk away. I think that's my problem, is like, you know, trying to walk away. I'm there 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, people are like, you got to go home.
Yeah. Well, you're 7 days a week's a lot.
It is.
You got to find some space in there, Chris.
Yeah, it is.
It's easy.
At least turn it down to five, man.
Yeah.
I only do hair 3.5 days.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
That's the thing. I love to hate it and hate to love it. Like, that's the thing. It's almost like I've been institutionalized. Like, you know, it's like my little prison.
Well, yeah. And I'll speak just for me. If I'm working that much, I'm not actually the best version of me.
Yeah,
I get a little wound up. Mm-hmm. I get a little stressed out. I was talking yesterday to one of my clients, and I'm like, you know, there are days I just want to quit. I just want to sell this place. And then if I think it through, right, think it like at least a minute through, I'm realizing, well, I'm never going to find a place where I'll own, and I'll never find a place that I work for myself and I have this type of freedom. And then I, you know, wind it back in and then realize I just need to work maybe a little less because I'm getting too wound up in this damn job. And it's stressful as great as it is, but it can get you.
Yeah. And I think that's for me personally, I think that's pushing myself to the limit of anything is where I get into trouble, and sometimes it's rewarding. But yeah, like I used to have two shops. I used to have one in Dover and then had this one down here, and I had the one up in Dover for 5 years or 6 years, both shops, you know, and I was running back and forth. And then in 2016 I had a cardiac arrest, and then I think it was just attributed to that. Like I just was I was sleeping like 3 hours a night, like just constantly moving.
Well, I'm glad you're doing okay. I had a girl that worked for me. She was a big fan of you guys, and I remember the day she's like, "Yeah, my buddy just I don't remember what exactly happened, but she's like, my good friend's like really having a problem." And I remember, so I'm glad you're.
Thanks. Yeah, I had arrhythmia. I had undiagnosed arrhythmia, so they had to put a pacemaker and a defibrillator, and so now I'm a cyborg, so I can work as hard as I want now. No, I'm just kidding. No.
But turn it up.
That's the problem of doing what you love, is the pitfall of not stopping.
Absolutely.
Because it's tied to your living. It's a creative outlet. You love, you love to do it, but it also will eat your life if you let it. Yeah.
I always think about when I hear about people retiring and they go, "Yeah, he just retired." And then like a month later, he's dead or they're dead. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm just like, man, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm trying to work not to be like that, because I see that down the road.
Well, it's weird. I have three kids. I have a 10, 11, and a 17-year-old, and it's weird to kind of watch them and their motivation and their, you know, their thoughts and their dreams and their hopes, and you're like, my 17-year-old's looking, you know, it's time to think about college, right? And I'm like, there's nothing really I can tell him that's going to make his life any easier, the decisions. But I said, you know, I can tell you just as a guy at 54, find something you love to do, because you're going to do it a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you don't love it, you'll basically end up walking away from it, and you'll find eventually, you know, what is it? Water finds every crack. I mean, you will figure out how to find something that you love. And, you know, I think we all start off with these visions of millionaires, right? I remember as a kid, I want to be a millionaire. Now I just want to be happy in my job, make a little money, survive.
Make enough,
right?
Yeah. Make enough to live life. Yeah,
and be, absolutely. And be just content, man. It's so important. So, Matt, where do are you the newest guy to the shop?
I am. I'm the latest addition.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here about 2 months now, I guess.
Yeah.
A month and a half, something like that. I started guest spotting about a year ago.
Yep. I love that. Yeah. Guest spotting. I'm going to have some guest spotting with some hairdressers. I think
that's
a great idea.
You could, right? You just bring somebody in and like, hey, this person's from Albuquerque. They do Albuquerque hair.
I grew up in Albuquerque. Do we have an Albuquerque?
Did you really grow up?
I did.
I had no idea. No, just a random.
Yeah, I lived there 15 years.
Wow. Okay.
I want to go back.
Yeah. I got tattooed there once. It was fun.
Freaking love out. Yeah. Different country, different part of the country.
Yeah.
Different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People don't realize it. Those are the adventurers.
Mm-hmm.
They left the East.
Yep. I went to New Mexico 2013, 2014 to like a artist retreat out there, and it was amazing out there. Like I loved it.
We were going to I was a big fan of The Killers, and I remember this. I'm like, I want to go see The Killers. Where can we, you know, I was having this moment, and they were playing in Vegas. I think it was the iHeart Festival. It was like $2,000 a ticket. I was like, Jesus, I can't afford that. So I looked on, and then Brandon Flowers, who was a singer for The Killers, was playing the Rainbow Room on, you know, Route 66 downtown Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Tickets were like $38. I'm like, we're going. My wife and I flew into Albuquerque, went to the Rainbow I guess it was a Rainbow Room. I don't want to get that confused with that. There's a club in L.A. called the Rainbow, but it was something Rainbow. And I remember taking a picture. We were having dinner before the show, and this rainbow was coming out of the roof of the Rainbow Room.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
Yeah, and it was just like this cool... Because Albuquerque, you know, you're 5,000 feet. Life's a little different when you're high.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. but it's, you know, it's the land of enchantment. Very true. You're always wondering what's going on over there. You know, it's that... takes your mind on a journey.
Yeah, there's always a horizon to right. see. And yeah,
here it's like they cut the corn down.
Yeah. Yeah,
our mind just got blown.
What is that, a gas station, some trees over there?
Cool. My wife goes, I've seen trucks going over there. I go, yeah, they cut all the corn down. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, how long have you, it's been just a couple months now?
It's been a couple months, yeah. Yeah.
So is it typical to kind of move around? Did you move or?
I moved down here with my partner.
Nice.
And yeah, she bought a house. And so I was at the shop that I was at previously. I was there for 15 years and I thought it's time for a change.
Yeah.
So, and it's only 100 miles away. So
that's
far, far enough where most of my book is gone, but a lot of my regulars are coming down still. So that's nice. And, you know, it's a beach. Who doesn't want to go to the beach?
You know? What are ways that you guys build books? I know that in the hair business, there's a lot of different things. I won't, you know, do this or that. Or mm-hmm. You know, it's just the, how does a guy come into a town, into a new shop, and start trying to build your book?
In my experience,
podcast?
It's been time. Yeah, right.
is that a good start?
Time and availability.
Yeah.
You know, like when the shop that I was at, I was there the first 2 years, I was there every day. So you talk about burnout and being someplace for 7 days a week.
Grinding it.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, for walk-in business, you want to have the lights on and the door open, you know, and have consistent time. You know, we were there 12 to 8. We're at Tough Luck 12 to 8 every day. Take our last walk-in around 6 or 7, depending upon what it is. And you want people to just know that they can go to a place when they feel like it. And,
right.
And at least, if not get tattooed, be able to talk to somebody, make an appointment.
No, I agree.
And to know that they're going to get tattooed in the future. And really, like, have somebody listen to them.
Yeah.
People want to know that they can come in and, yeah. And that's part of, like, being present, I guess, is the really long way of getting to how to build your book.
Well, and I think there's, you know, being polite. I think that's a nice one. You know, when I walked into your guys' shop, everyone was really nice. The hair business, we've said this, they're sort of the same, tattoo business, hair business. I mean, every hairdresser has great tattoos, and every tattoo artist has great hair, usually, right? So we kind of live in that sort of the same world. I brought up a couple points. I know for us, it's, you know, the freedom. If you can be free, but you won't work. Or you can, you know, realize that and still be there till late. You know, that's a tough one. I remember. Well, great thing we do now, and I don't know if this is done in your business or maybe this is how the business is done, but now I just do chair rental. Mm. Like, I only rent chairs to people. So they pay for the week. You know, we've been doing a little while, so they pay by the month. But, you know, they pay for the week, and they're a small business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've covered, you know, I'll take the building and, you know, the big, you know, responsibilities on. But as far as... You know, and it gives people an opportunity to see sort of what it's like to have a little bit of a small business. Maybe they eventually want to open up their own shop or something like that, but it gives you a little, dips the toe into it a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But really, I only like working with people that got a little skin in the game.
Yeah.
Because I've been in a commission business, and it's fine, especially if you're new. But, you know, people are like, how come I'm not busy? How come I'm not busy? How come they got business? I'm not, you know, and you're like, well, man, you could beer more or, you know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be somebody's parent.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Do you guys do that? Is that doable or does that happen in the business as well?
It has happened. Yeah. And I've wrestled with it for a long time and it's hard because you're relying on that income.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I just, you know, I haven't really wanted to put that stress onto the artist, you know, because, you know, I don't know, it's added stress, you know what I mean? I would think that, you know, if it was somebody like, say, Matt, that I would definitely offer that to Matt, you know what I mean? Because he's got skin in the game, like you said.
Right.
Like, he's been doing it for so long, he understands it. But when you're dealing with people that don't really understand the ins and outs, and I'm not going to disparage my artists with me, but I just think that with artists, they're a little bit less reliable than say hairstylists. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't. There's a little bit of things that, you know, like I've seen over the years. You know what I mean? They have a level of responsibility.
You know sure, what I mean? Sure. It's like you're saying about you can grind it out. You can make a boatload of money in a couple of days, and then if you want to screw off for a few days, you can.
Or but on a podcast network. I mean, yeah. I, you know, everything doesn't have to be yeah. work and screwing off. Right, I mean, it right. just may not be the same sort of work. I mean,
right, right.
I do a lot of work for free,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Because I just love doing this as well. It's, yeah. And, you know, every situation's, you know, if you're new, commission work is good. I mean, mm. there is, you know, when... You know, when I first started in the hair business, I worked for Drexel. Drexel mm. is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I owe I've said this before. I owe really everything I have right now to Drexel because I had come out of a career that wasn't really was in the golf course business. And he's like, why don't you be a hairdresser? Go see Kevin. Go see Jason. Talk to those guys. Yeah. I don't remember if you know them or remember them. Mm-hmm. Jason obviously passed along, but his dad was great. And I remember hanging out with those guys and them just being like, yeah, come hang out, man. And I'm like, this is the second coming of Van Halen right here, these two. Because, yeah. I mean, the music was on yeah. and the girls. I was like, I want to be a hairdresser. But Drexel's like, listen, you go to school, you work hard, you show me that you can do this, I'll put you right on the floor. Yeah. And I was like almost 40 years old. I'm like, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved it. But, you know, then that freedom starts and you're like, ugh. Do I have to sit here and wait till 7 to see if somebody walks in?
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah.
So that's, it works for, you know, yeah, it's, new people, it's
tough.
Good.
It's tough. I like to treat, my goal when I started it was like trying to treat people how I like to be treated.
Exactly.
You know, and like it's, and I've always tried to do it with actions, not just words. Like, you know, I make sure everything's there. You know, everything they need to do to do a good tattoo is there. So right. you don't have to worry about supplies, the you know lights being on,
Vaseline,
the internet, Vaseline. You know what I mean? Like that's
I always think of Vaseline.
That's important. Where the commission comes in. And like I've found that, you know, like if you're not on top of that, like you know supplies and stuff like that, if you want your own, you know what I mean?
I guess that would be a little different because if you're relying on the artist, you know, most 99% are probably amazing, but that's a 1% that might not have his supplies. I will say that as a chair rental place, I do provide towels, laundry, mm-hmm. hot water. Yeah. They're in charge of their own color.
Yeah, that's yes. the same.
Yeah,
same.
So yeah. I do understand. Yeah, you want to make sure the basics are covered, right?
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's where the commission comes in, and the rent that I have is it's high. You know what I mean? And I understood that when I rented it because it's on the highway. I mean, location, location, location.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I did it. I wanted to make a ton of money. I just wanted to be in a place where I was comfortable and being seen. And the money wasn't really the factor, you know, because the money was a factor. We'd be off the side of the road or somewhere. Yeah.
But
you know what I mean?
But we got parking.
You got parking,
which is
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
You got a great spot. Yeah. I will say I see your business every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right there.
But yeah, signage, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes it's hard when I tell people, that never want to get tattooed and they've been coming down here for years. They go, I've never seen the place. And it's kind of hidden though. It's like, I'm like, how do I? So I'm trying to work on that because the way it is, it's kind of, you can drive right past it without.
Well, I think people, I mean, Grand Slam catches your eye right
Yeah,
now.
Right away.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, there's Grand Slam. Right? Mm-hmm. It's,
yeah.
It's a good spot.
I love it though. I love it. It's a good spot. Yeah.
Well, and you know, and I'm sure too. Matt would, you know, agree with this. I mean, you bring good artists in and they will come and find you. You could be in the middle of a freaking cornfield and if the word's out that there's an artist that's doing amazing work, they will find you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure.
And yeah. that's really what it comes down to. And when you have a great reputation, I, you know, I don't talk a lot about tattooing, but when I do hear about tattooing, tough luck always comes up. Nice. So you got a great reputation. Awesome. I don't hear, you know, I've been here 30 years. I hear rep talk.
Yeah.
You guys got a good rep. So that's,
And that's like the that's like 80% of like a business is your reputation.
Yeah.
And like I firmly believe that from what I used to read when I was a kid, like younger, you know, getting interested in running a business and it's all you got. Your reputation is all you got. And like I worked with some older guys in Philly before I did this, and I worked with a guy. He started like all these businesses. Like he did all these bit and sell. He sold them. And he goes, customer service is the one thing if you want to be successful, you got to have.
Yep.
He's like, you got to have good customer service. And he's like, you don't have to be fake about it. You don't be a used car salesman or you know, door-to-door sales. And he said, just be yourself and be nice and be courteous to people. And he said, you'll find success in anything you do. And I agree. Remembered that because I was an artist. We don't talk. Like, I don't know about you, Matt. Like, growing up, I was kind of a quiet little kid, you know what I mean? So I got out of my shell. I mean, maybe art, you know, like maybe hairdresser the same way because you got to deal with the public, and I wasn't used to that, you know? Yeah. So I was always kind of shy and...
Yeah, same. I really didn't learn to talk to people until, I guess, all my first jobs were food service. Mm-hmm. First 10 years from like 16 to 26.
Same year, yeah.
I worked, I jockeyed a counter, yeah. talked to like 30 people every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that helps for tattooing for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's why I started the podcast. I'm like, I do podcasts all day, half hour slots, bam, bam, mm-hmm. bam, bam, one conversation after another.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
You know, it's... Try to keep it interesting. People love a good... People will come just for the, you know, a little chat to get out.
I mean, that's half of the experience, really. It's like getting the tattoo. I mean, you walk around with a tattoo. You know you're tattooed. But you also want to have, like, a good experience attached to getting it. You know, you don't want to be, like, getting tattooed and, like, just you're getting tattooed by a wet blanket. Just wearing headphones that, you know, won't make eye contact or
does. Yeah, you know, this hurts. Yeah. Could at least, like, be fucking a little friendly.
Yeah, show some humanity a little bit.
Well, I was, you know, when I first started doing this podcast, we did a lot of podcasts about cooperation over competition. And I know in my business, I know it's got to be the same in yours. You know, we new hair salon opens up, you're like, oh, great, here we go.
Right.
And it tests us, right? We're like, Jesus. You know, are we going to lose? I remember opening this salon and then hearing, you know, my friend Jess opening one in Milton. Like, oh, well, that's the end of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's just so much better. Mm-hmm. And it's not really the case, right? Mm-hmm. Just because I think everyone's amazing doesn't mean that everyone thinks everyone's amazing. We find what we like about people.
Yeah.
And, you know, when another salon or another art or another tattoo shop opens up, do you guys try to help them out? Do you guys, are y'all friends? Like, or do we?
I
can imagine you do.
Yeah, I try to be. I'm helpful because I have a strong. You'll succeed on your own merit or your own work. You know what I mean. So I don't have to compete with other tattoo shops because I'm always trying to compete against what I'm doing, like today and tomorrow. And like, I don't have to focus. See, I tell the young guys, I'm like, don't focus on other people. Just focus on what you got to do today and what you want to achieve. And
Well, we always try. Like, I'll get people calling as we do a service. I'm like, I don't do it, but I tell you what, call, you know, Urban Studio, call Steve mm-hmm. the company. I mean, I'm always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How can I help these guys? I don't do it. You know, whatever I can do. I think it's growing up, right?
We grow up. Well, I think it's important to be friends with the right people. The right businesses that, you know, kind of project some of your ideals and values. And like, there's a couple shops that we do, you know, if I'll go, hey, look, go here, go see her, go see him, you know, like that's where you want to go. But, you know, I don't really, I don't look at it as a negative comp, you know, like I don't worry about it. You know,
of course
I just say, okay, I just got to work harder.
Well, it's like, it's like tidings, right? You put some money in the basket, and then it'll come back 10 times, fold.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I help out people, and hopefully they'll eventually help out me. Yeah. I do know one of the girls I worked with. It was funny. When I opened my salon, I had worked at another salon, and I was like, I'm going to open my own place. All my friends are going to come. It's going to be awesome. And I opened it up, and nobody came, right? You know, you should open a shop.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And then nobody goes because, not because it's personal, because, hey, man, I'm sort of invested where I'm at, right?
Yeah.
And we've sort of, you know, invested into a person that invests into us. And we're not just bailing on them. And I'm like, okay, good point. So, but 10 years later, she's opening her own spot. And she's like, hey, can I come rent a chair from you? And I was like, of course, absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't happen that day. But 10 years later, I was still able to eventually help her out. Yeah. And that's really... That's what matters, right? Just trying to be there for everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. You get what you give.
You get what you give.
Know, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from the guy that gave me my first tattoo. And he said, if you're good to people, they'll be good to you back.
That's right.
That's really it. It's a simple exchange.
I was like, I feel like starting a podcast called I Think We Got Off on the Wrong Foot. Because there's really no reason, unless, you know, clearly something bad has happened,
right,
that two human beings cannot get along.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no reason. I don't know you guys, and there's no absolute reason why you and I cannot get along.
Right.
Yeah, so we must have just gotten off on the wrong foot because.
Yeah, I just I'm same way. Like I don't, even if somebody's being rude or whatever, I try to make it a point to not give into that. You know, some people have bad days. You know, I get it. You know.
Yeah. Well, and I think as we get old, how old are you, Chris?
I'm 45. Yeah.
I'm 49.
So I'm 54.
Yeah.
And I think we're right at that prime. I say I'm at the prime of my life. This is my prime of my life. And I'm like, my wife's like, well, you're getting old, right? And I go, yeah, but this is like where I take everything I've learned, right, and have a little money, mm-hmm. Have transportation, yeah. right, have a business, and mm-hmm. I can kind of, you know, I have a lot to work with. You know, I don't want to lose anything, but I have a lot to work with, and I can mm-hmm. be there for people, and I can wave that white flag and surrender and say, it's just not really worth the fight. I'd rather, like, just be friends, right, and mm-hmm. Not waste time on dumb stuff.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. that's awesome. The inside of age.
Yeah. That's the inside right. of age.
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you focus on things that aren't going to improve your life or make you happier or wealthier or healthier, like, it's just a time waster, and I can't do it anymore. I have a TBI, so, like, that's a saving grace with me. The TBI has made me learn how to keep what's important in my mind and let go of all this stuff that's stressful and doesn't help me. Like, and that's
TBI, something brain injury. What's the T?
That's a traumatic brain injury.
Traumatic brain injury. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's. I just don't focus on anything that's, because I used to be a worrywart. I'd worry about everything. You know. Oh my God, we got to pay the rent, like the bills. You know, the blah blah blah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know Matt? Did you do Matt Haley's tattoo?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did Matt. Matt, I love Matt. Matt Haley, he was one of the most unique and best people I've ever tattooed. I was very sad when he passed away. We had the best conversations. He was just a great guy. Like, I tell him, everybody, I said, that was the greatest, one of the greatest people I ever met.
Well, that's why that's how this podcast started, because mm-hmm. Matt was, he would help anybody.
Mm-hmm. He would, yeah. He'd always offer me, you need help. I said, Matt, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it, man. I got it. He goes, look, I don't want to be like that. He's like, I just like helping people. And I said, I get it too. And I said, I'm the same way. I said, if I fail or if I succeed, it's going to be on me. And
well, if you had something wrong, he'd show up with the team, right? He'd be there. Mm-hmm. And I have friends like, I'm going to pick up where Matt left off. I'm like, no, you're not. Because it's just not possible because of the way his life was. So I'm like, well, why don't we start a podcast and just help small businesses and bring them on and chat? And that's how it started. Not what he did, mm-hmm. but I can't do what he did. I can only do what I can do.
Yeah.
But he used to tell me, I used to love what he used to say. He'd say, hey, man, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it'll all work out.
Yeah. And I'm like,
thank you.
That's the kind of insight that I got from him. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, I done did it all. You know, like, I was doing this and that. And I go, yeah. I said, you know, and basically he was just saying, like, you know, you can do it. Like, if I can do it, you can do it.
Well, just keep, you know, stay in the moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not, you know, you're not smoking crack or paying for hookers. It should be fine. I'm like, I'm not. So it'll be good. And it's a great, you know, because, like, you know, and I think you sort of hinted at it. I can make a lot more out of something that really isn't there.
Yeah.
It's like.
And he would tell me, and I loved living vicariously through individuals like him, and, you know, because I'd be right there with him, because he would tell me, he's like, I went to Nepal, and, you know, I remember those stories, you know, like when I lost my memory, you know what I mean, but that was some of the stories I remembered. He went to Tibet, and he, you know, helped build a school, and mm-hmm. he was, you know, doing all these things, humanitarian things for, you know, these people, and, like, you know, and not a lot of people knew about it. You know, I mean, just, I guess, you know, not, I mean, the whole world didn't know about it, but his friends did, you know, but
we adopted, I thought that was great. Two girls. He had two daughters that he had adopted there. That's why he would go there, and then he would help out with the school. And yeah. Great. I mean, just a great story.
And he told me he'd do the motorcycle race. He was always telling about the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Great. Going down the Himalayas on, you know, his, two-stroke or whatever it was. Like,
yeah, I don't even know what the name of that bike was, but it was like
Enfield or out of it. It was something like that.
It was a
Triumph or something.
Cool bike. Yeah, well, he had the Triumph here, but the bike that he would ride there was, I don't know the name, but it was that silver, shiny gas tank bike. It was Did you ever do any of his events? He would ever have ever fish on where he'd have the auctions and stuff.
No, well, I mean, we did a couple, yeah. But not many.
One of the he had one of those bikes there. I think at cool. One point for auction. Okay, but the point is he was a great reminder of how complicated I can make shit.
You know?
I'd be like, I remember calling him. I mean, he's a big reason I have this salon. I'm like, sick of working for these people. He's like, do you want to open your own salon or not? I go, I do. And he goes, well, here, gave me Rhonda Meyer's number over at Community Bank, gave me Preston Shell's number over at Ocean Atlantic, who owned this place, set me up appointments to meet these people. He's like, all right, when you meet with Preston, just shut your mouth. He's smart. Smart guy. Just keep your mouth shut and sit there and listen. I was like, okay. And he was just, I mean, he was a huge guy, big help. And, yeah.
Yeah. And I was sad, man. I mean, he's one of the few people that I really was like, man, I wish I had, you know, spent more time with him. Because I think I tattooed him.
I think you put the eye on the back of his neck.
The eye of Buddha. And eyes of Buddha. And then, you know, he told me his situation. And I was like, he's like, I'm probably not going to come back. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, nah, come on, man. You're going to come back. He's like, I'd rather stay over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that was like a, you know, thing, but I'm not saying like anything beyond that, but he loved being over there.
No, he loved it.
Yeah.
I think he's a free spirit. I mean, that was the cool thing about him. He, you know, he went to Mexico and he'd walk the back alleys and eat like tripe and like, that's intestine. He's like, yeah, it's so good. Yeah. So he puts it on the menu and everyone's like, okay, that's disgusting. He's like, okay, take the tripe off. But he was that kind of guy. And I think, you know, when you live a sort of that life, you know, coming up like that, I think you're just so full of gratitude. You know, it's like this morning I went for a run. I always say the worst thing about runners is everything they see they think is awesome because they're like kind of suffering, right? And I think that's kind of how Matt was. He'd like to walk. He used to tell me, he goes, one of the great things for me about being sober is that I can go off and just start walking and be completely lost and know that I'm going to be completely fine. Like, I'll figure it out. Like, there's no reason. You know, it's one thing when you're, like, under the influence of something and you all head off and God knows where you end up and how you get back. But he's like, I know regardless wherever I go, as long as I'm doing what I'm doing, which is, you know, helping people and staying sober, I'll make it back.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. But I think that just sort of living on that, I'm a little bit nervous. I think that kind of keeps you in sort of that pink cloud that always keeps you grateful and always like wide-eyed and just like, tripe is awesome. And you're like, it's intestine. And so like this morning, I'm like, look at this awesome broken bottle, you know, because I'm out grinding it out, right? And that's how his whole life was. It was awesome.
That's a really good way to put it. How he was characterized him like that. He was great like that. Like, very humble too. Like, I mean, that humility came from that doing charity.
Yep.
I think that's something that I've always admired with people that go out in other countries and do that.
Well, and his story at the end was almost like he did all this to like kind of die in the Himalayas, right? It's just sort of like the perfect ending for a guy like that. You know, he does so much, and then you cap it off with unfortunately death. Right.
Yeah.
It's like Jimi Hendrix, right? Jimi Hendrix is amazing, but he died, right? I always wonder where would Kurt Cobain be now? Like, would he still be relevant, even though he was amazing? Loved Nirvana. Hey.
Yeah.
But
if he didn't have the mystique of leaving too soon.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, could he have what would his life been 40 years or 30 years down the road?
Sure.
And like an Eddie Vedder who's still kind of hanging out, but
But leave him wanting more kind of thing. Or you could do like John Lennon and do I'm Just Sitting Here Watching the Wheels Go Around, which is a fine song.
Great song.
But doesn't have the same...
Pull that up just a little.
Doesn't have the same bite that, you know, early Beatles songs had, right?
Right.
It was like, you know, it is. He's literally saying, I'm just sitting here watching wheels.
Yeah.
Which is... That's a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
Beatles are interesting. I like them, but a little early for me. I have some... More Van Halen.
Yeah, right.
Van Halen was always awesome. Yeah.
Okay, like David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
Both.
All right.
Both, very important.
But if you had to pick Diamond Dave or Sammy Hagar?
Diamond Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
But if I'm going to pick, it's going to be him doing the splits off the riser on Van Halen too.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah,
I also saw Van Halen do the reunion tour up in Philly with David Lee Roth. I think it's the last concert I saw of them. And he was actually really good.
Yeah.
I saw him on the 1984 tour. Not good. He saw Sammy Hagar at 5150. Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one. But if you're going to make me, if you're going to force me, I'd say Van Halen 2, The Splits off the Riser, Eddie Van Halen, Black and Yellow Guitar.
Yeah.
Love Van Halen. Dude, I love Van Halen.
Yeah.
Do you know, Billy Lucas from Taco Rio?
Yeah, Billy. Yeah.
He came in. He's on the podcast. We have had Van Halen Day. Yeah, Van Halen shoes. Yeah. I mean, it was just.
It's awesome.
Yeah, big fan of Van Halen.
Yeah, I love some old Diamond Dave, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
When I was a kid, I'd be like, my brother would play it, and I'm like rocking out with him, you know.
Well, it's just a tough. It's really hard to compare life to how life is now to then, you know. I mean, you know, when we found a band, whether it was a Van Halen or whatever, right? You know, it was pretty committed. You know, we're closer, a little bit closer in age.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got that album, you cut that plastic, you smelled it.
1984 was the best thing I'd ever heard that in 1984. Album. Like, it was the greatest album ever. Yeah.
Well, and I was just doing I got my e-bike and I was out for an e-bike ride and I was doing a little reel, right? Making a little video of my bike ride. And then I found Intruder, you know, I was like, holy crap, that's so good. Uh-huh. That is. Actually, that might be a pretty. That might be Diver Down.
Diver Down, yeah.
Oh shoot, I'm sorry. But there's some great stuff on 1984.
I mean, 1984 is solid front to back. Like, solid. There's not a bad moment on that whole thing.
My mom stood in line at the mall in Albuquerque and got us Van Halen 1984 tickets for Tingley Coliseum.
That's awesome.
And I think they were like $18 each.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
Just awesome.
Yeah.
And David Lee Roth, not a great singer on that tour.
No. Oh yeah, I mean. I think, from what I remember, you know, my brother, I got influenced with my brother because he was a Diamond Dave fan, you know, because back then it was like half shirts, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that whole metal vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it was all, you know, sunshine, bikinis, and beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Van Halen and some Jack.
Yeah, sure.
But that was like, you know, it wasn't about drugs. Mm-hmm. It was all sunshine and drinking some beer and hanging out with chicks. And in 1984, you know, I graduated high school in 86. So in 1984, that's exactly what I was doing. Drinking beer, hanging out with chicks,
yeah,
and having some sunshine. So it fit for me fine, right? It's good music, but we were very committed to our music back then. You know, like, you know, Van Halen, that's it. I'm adding to my catalog, and that's where they will stay. Every year I will purchase a new Van Halen album because I love them. And today, you know, my kid, like my oldest one, big 21 Pilots fan, took him to Firefly. Do you guys do Firefly at all?
Never have, no.
I've been to one.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's a good
pandemic,
time.
Yeah.
Took him to Firefly. Love 21 Pilots. And then the next year, he's like, I don't like them anymore.
Right.
I'm like, bro, that was your boys. What happened?
Yeah, it's not. There's this throwaway, I guess. Yeah, everything's.
Well, there's so much being made, too.
There's so much going around. Yeah, being made. There's nothing to grab on.
There's so much music being made right now. If you listen to music 24 hours a day for the rest of your life, you'd still never hear it all.
Yeah.
Like, and there's just, and with all this technology available and all these different streaming services and just the volume of people, there's just more being produced than ever.
We were laughing. I go, they're going to start selling half a song. I mean, our desire, our attention span is shrinking.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's the problem.
When we were kids, we went to the movies. They were a couple hours, right?
Sure.
Then they're like an hour and a half. Yeah. And then we would have TV shows and a half hour. Mm-hmm. And now I sit and watch reels, like seconds.
Yeah. Sure.
Entertaining. It's like.
But movies have gotten stupid long. All the Marvel movies are like they're nearing 3 hours.
It seems like that's the only movies that are out anymore. Yeah. Marvel movies. Yeah. We did watch the. Did you guys see the new Elvis Presley movie?
No, I did not see that one.
I didn't see it yet.
It was excellent.
Yeah, it was mostly about. It was like a Tom Hanks thing, right? It was about the
Colonel Parker.
Yeah, Colonel Parker.
Colonel Parker. Well, it's a new spin on it. I mean, I've seen. Yeah. I mean, how many Elvis movies can you see?
Right. Just talking about him being a drug addict and marrying his cousin or marrying a child, all that stuff.
They did that a lot back then.
Yeah. What's his name? Jerry Lee Lewis?
Or yeah.
Jerry Lee.
It was a good movie.
Great Balls of Fire guy. Yeah.
So, let's get back to tattooing. What is what's your specialty, man?
I like American traditional and Japanese style tattooing. Bold lines, bold color.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm illustrative, like comic booky type stuff.
I'm not very, I don't know all the vocabulary for tattooing, but I do like, you know, and I'll show you like on my arm, I do like these kind of separated. I've
got very traditional looking tattoos.
Yeah, I like traditional looking tattoos. Yeah. I did, I mean, my first tattoo was kind of tribal. And I'm like, what the fuck was that?
That's what was happening today.
Yeah, someone's like, you need to get that covered up. I go, no.
Yeah.
It's just what it is, what it is.
You got what you got when you got it.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's a mile marker.
You get what you get. Yeah. You don't get upset.
Yeah. right. That's what you...
And I'm not upset. But at the same time, it was funny because that was very popular. Tribal was very popular at the time. And it's, I was watching, I think it was some old voice, and Keith Urban was, and you could see these tribal, you know, these tribal barbs coming out from under his shirt. Like, you know, he's just tribed up under there, which is fine.
Yeah.
So what's kind of trending now? What is the, is there trending in tattooing?
Yeah, but it turns over so much more quickly now than
Isn't it funny when people ask you that? People say, well, what's trending in hair? I go, good haircuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's probably, it's always the great work is what's trending.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and trends don't last.
Yeah.
That's why they're trends.
Right.
You know, the stuff that are, you know, like there's a mainstay, there are mainstay tattoos like a dream catcher. Yes. I've been doing dream catchers my whole career. I worked in North Philly for 6 years. I worked in Delaware County for 15. I worked at a couple of shops over the year. Everywhere for the whole time, I've done a dream catcher, at least one every few months. And that's like a, like, that's never going away, right?
Dreamcatchers are here.
Yeah, they're here. But and other things too.
Wolves,
wolves and tigers. Tigers are always going to be. And look, the reality is you can't go wrong with a dragon or a skull or a snake
or a rose,
or a rose. Yeah, like something, a really traditional tattoo that's crispy, clean, and done well. Nobody's going to be mad at that, you know. But if you're trying to get something like, like your favorite song lyric, like you're saying, your son liked this band and a year later didn't care for this band anymore. The same thing for a song lyric. You might really, really identify with it, but you're going to change over the course of your life. And that those words might not have the same impact after a while. So, but a dagger going through a skull that says, you know, get rich or die trying,
or a horseshoe going through school,
right? Yeah. Like that might have a little bit more longevity for you, especially if you had a good time getting it, and it's cool looking. Like it's, you know, it's tough looking.
None of them have been that fun. I think, you know, it's a little chat, but there is a lot of
right. This, I mean, it is pain. You're going through a process.
Like this tattoo on my arm, which is, people always ask me, like, what is that? And it's a knife, and it looked great on paper, right? I'm like, that is so freaking cool. It was black and white, super clean, but it's a woman's hand holding a knife.
I see,
and her eyes crying as, I'm assuming, she's stabbing me in the back because of blood. And it seemed kind of cool, but then when you get it on your arm and people are like, what does that mean? I go, I don't know. She's stabbing me in the back, man. it's like
it's sorrow and murder altogether.
Yeah, sorrow and murder. But then they're like, I hope they don't think I'm a murderer. Right?
Yeah, it's, and that's the thing. Like, but at least you're getting something that you thought about, and like for that moment. It's like you said, memories, and like it's a memory. That's the struggle sometimes. Like, you know, your memories, and do you get the souvenir? Do you get the memory? You know what I mean? Like, I think the beach, we have a lot of souvenir tattoos, not like memory tattoos. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But you're fine. I mean, we're in the business of tattoo.
Yeah. You get whatever you want for whatever reason you want.
I sort of went through a little phase where I didn't have any tattoo. I had like a tattoo up here, and I was like, I'd kind of come through a relationship kind of thing. And I was just like, I don't know. And I just kind of started getting tattoos on my arm. And, you know, I got this one first, which I really like, but it's self-made. I like that. I'm like, you know, really, I kind of have come through a lot of stuff. And in the end, you know, it's because of me. You know, I mean, people help you, but you got to show up.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of like the message of being self-made. And and then this was a Pearl Jam one. And then I liked the moth. And then this one was cool. And then I get this knife. And I'm like, What'd you do that for? But well, I don't hate it. I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, there might be like my first one is a shark that I drew the night before I got it.
Nice.
And everybody that saw it was like, oh, yeah. Jabberjaw. And I was like, fuck. It not does Jabberjaw. Look like Jabberjaw. But I drew it. And of course, I was influenced by Jabberjaw because that's, you know, yeah. when I was a kid, I loved Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know, so. But yeah, but you know, you got it.
Do you get so, to? Does someone bring in stuff? And you, do you ever go? I don't know, man.
I only have a personal trip about baby portraits.
Well, I was going to ask you, what's the one that makes you kind of get? Because I know there are things that people will come into the salon. I'm like, oh, I just don't.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only where. That's the only place I draw a line with
baby portraits.
Yeah, I personally, look, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. There's tons of them out there. Yeah, yeah. I personally am creeped out by them and don't want to have any part of it. But, you know, again, like it's free world. Get whatever you want.
I think that's what would make me a little worried is when people will come in and have like their father tattooed on their face, like in their back in the military days, like the old military photo.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the tattoo business, but I feel like if I was, that would be the one that would make me a little freaked out because it's so faces and expressions and eyes.
You got to nail it.
Yeah.
You got to nail it.
Yeah.
And I know you guys can, but I'm just saying if I had to do it, I'd be freaking out inside.
They are hard tattoos and they're only as good as the beginning material. So if somebody comes in with a Polaroid of their grandmother from 1986... That's not a helpful reference, and it's gonna be fuzzy, and we can't make up your grandmother's face.
Well,
we can only go by the material you bring. So if it's a crappy sort of flat photo, you know
that was one of the surprises when I got my first tattoo is that the lady Xeroxed copied it right on the stuff, and then they put the thing on and the little stents on it. Mm-hmm. It left a little outline, and I'm like. Well, that's cheating, right? That's kind of what I thought. I was like, well, shit, I could do this, but it just gives you a guide.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, it is not, because that's one of the things. So the guy that did my tattoos was named Matt Perez, and I think he's down in Florida. He was down at a shop as you go into Rehoboth on the left, down over by Faded, the hair salon. You know,
Electric Tiger?
Yeah. No, Electric Tiger's on the corner down by the Y. It's
Galaxy?
It's the ship one.
Yeah, Homeward.
Those guys. So, and he's, you know, like every tattoo artist, he's in Florida now or whatever, but it's a lot of the shading and the coloring and all the cool stuff that goes on inside of the lines.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that little stencil because I would hate to get off track a bit.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I can't imagine how you can make a stencil out of an old Polaroid.
Yeah, and you're taking a flat thing and putting it on a curved surface too.
True.
So if you're trying to get the spacing of, you know, the eyes, for example.
Yeah.
And it's hitting, I don't know, the top point of your forearm, and that just that fold just changes the way the portrait looks. Like it can't look like it does. I mean, it does, but it's sitting on a curved surface, so it's going to distort. It's just going to be, you know.
Well, people will come into the salon and for a while, these big fantasy color hair, the rainbow, the pinks, and the blues, and, you know, and it's all Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Pinterest, and you're like, what the fuck? And and I look at it, I go, I can't, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I said, and the reason I'm not doing it is because I can't do it the same way every time. It's just impossible to do this. I can't guarantee that I'm going to make this happen every time.
Right.
And it's not going to look good in a day or two.
Right.
Difference with tattoos is that, you know, tattoos change. I mean, they do, this ink moves around a little bit over time, and that's kind of the cool part about it. And you kind of have to, you know.
And you got to tell people that. That's the problem. What you're saying now, you got this big, on social media, and you got these really tiny tattoos that these kids are getting. And I try to explain to them, I said, that tattoo is going to be gone. Or it's just going to be like a blob.
Right.
In like 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's not going to have that detail.
Right.
And it's you're not going to be happy with it.
Yeah. We're bags of meat and water, and we put ink in ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's totally going to shift around.
And if you're comfortable with that, If you're comfortable with that, we'll do it. You know what I mean? I'll do
absolutely. We'll tattoo your bag of meat.
We're never going to say no. I've definitely, like, I have relaxed soft tattoos all over me that are, you know, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. That's what happens, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, I mean,
gotta explain.
Yeah, you have to, I mean, there are probably some things you'd be like, listen, I also got to have my name behind it, and I'm not going to put it on there. So,
yeah, that's true.
There's a line.
Also, too, yeah. But it's also like, you can't save people from themselves sometimes.
Nope.
And you got to be like, stop. No, don't. Sit down. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love it.
That's what I kind
of... Now it just becomes a challenge on myself.
As long as it has good line work, shading, and it's a good tattoo. That's what my kind of standard is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think we learn, and you can talk about this too, Matt, because I've had tattoos... don't heal that well. They're a little rougher than others, mm-hmm. right? And then sure. I'll have a tattoo that's just like
easy peasy,
cakewalk, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So I can say that I think this one, I think this the moth one I did, I think it struggled a bit, and I just think it was the skin area, and I think it was a little bit of heavy coloring,
yeah.
Because the same guy did it, Matt Perez, and he was very good, so I don't think it was him, but. You know, every part of the arm is different, right?
Yeah, sure.
And some
sure.
some get beat up a little worse mm-hmm. than others.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it also depends on the life that you live, too. Like, I got tattooed a few months ago, and then I went to a boxing class. So I...
boxing glove
like
rubbed
a,
it?
Well, a week later, I put gloves on, and I'm hitting the bag, and then I'm done, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I just rubbed... like, you can see the spaces.
Yeah.
And that's just from a week later putting on boxing gloves for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all relative to the life you're living, you know? And, like, people that aren't healthy, for example, like, you know, and not to disparage anybody that has ill health, of course, that sucks. But like,
pull it together.
If you have... but if you
I'll despair them. It's good to go. Yeah.
If you don't drink water...
Yeah,
like,
if you don't drink water, you have, like, shitty circulation.
Mountain Dew and yeah, cake. Right. You need to get the fuck on with the program.
If you're eating Wawa 6 days a week, you're probably not going to heal as well as if, you know, if you got some vegetables from time to time.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like everything is relative. Especially, like I say, the skin is the most random.
It's the biggest organ in your body,
right? Yeah. And
your epidermis,
banging into tables. And I tell people all the time, like you're gonna find out how often you knock your body around through this tattoo because mm-hmm. you'll hit it into stuff, you'll hit it in the car door, and not mm-hmm. you won't even know, you won't even realize. But now you have this mark on you that will let you know how careless we really are when we're moving through the world.
Like, ooh, shit, well, I am looking. I do have a spot, you know, and it's like, I don't know what to do.
That's, I mean, not that I want to put a pinup next to a pinup, but you could.
I'm thinking
I'd say you could.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, pinups, I think, are awesome.
They're cool looking. Yeah.
I mean, I do love a good pinup. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I'm not sure I want to commit to this other arm yet.
Yeah.
I sort of just kind of like, kind of just this arm, but pinups, I do like a pinup.
Yeah. And you're finding out as a collector.
Yeah.
Every tattoo you get informs the space around it. So you wind up having to solve the problem of like that's a problem I have to solve now for myself.
You know, that's a problem.
Right. Well, it's going to be a problem for my buddy when I go see him to like fill the space.
So do you guys shave your arms? I mean, what the hell? Because I feel pretty hairy.
I just don't.
Yeah.
It's genetics.
Okay. Because you're. I must have been like in some cold area back in my ancestors.
You know, the funny thing is, like, you don't look terribly hairy, but because you're fair-haired, all the light, is hitting.
What's that? What'd you call me?
Your hair is very fair.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Well, I don't have any hair on my chest. It's funny. I'm hairless, except on my arms. Yeah. I'm like, I must have cleaned holes or something with my arms my ancestors or something.
That's so. Awesome. Yeah.
So how are we doing on time? I mean, this is what I worry about with these, because I could talk to you guys all day. Do you guys am I holding you up?
Not me. I mean,
I don't got anywhere to be until
so
work.
It sounds like you guys are open every day,
except Monday. Close Mondays.
Close Mondays. It closed to the public. I usually work on Mondays because 7 days a week. So
yeah.
So Mondays, I'm there, but you might not reach me. But closed Mondays just for everybody.
By appointment. VIP day.
Have you guys? What's your social game like? The social media game. I mean, is that? Are you finding that a challenge? For me, I can't stand the social media part of this. So what do you think? I hate it myself.
Yeah,
it sucks, right?
It's necessary, but I hate it.
At 49, I find it difficult to post regularly, and I know you have to keep putting content out and all that stuff.
I'm bad at responding to DMs.
I mean,
do we?
As a resource, it seems like it should be necessary, or it's necessary because that's how so many people are finding businesses and reaching out. Yeah, well, there's.
I'm not sure. It is programmed.
It's like
you got to put out this stuff.
This is what you got to do. Engage.
Yeah. I always tell my clients, don't tell anybody where you got your hair done. That's kind of cool. Like, literally, don't tell them. Yeah. Like, where'd you get your hair done? Can't tell you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, yeah. Because
okay. Yeah. Now I'm gonna figure it out.
Now it's exclusive.
Yeah. That's what we got. Yeah, yeah. That's what we have to go back. I was thinking about this morning and for the week last week because we were talking about we saw these videos of these kids tattooing on a subway. Because they have the battery, they have machines that have batteries now.
ETAT, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we need to go back.
It's made it so accessible.
Yeah, that we have to go back to like the old coils, like the traditional way of was done. Not traditional, but you know what I mean? Just the way it's losing a little bit of it, the mystique.
It used to be you couldn't get tattoo supplies.
Yeah.
Unless you were a tattooer and you had a shop that you were ordering to.
Yeah.
Well, what's up with that?
Well, now you can get all the stuff on Amazon.
Yeah.
Like everything is available. There's like cheap Chinese knockoffs of every machine you can think of, and you can buy, you know, if you know what inks to buy, you can go and do that all through.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of bad work being done.
It's not even that. You know, it's not even like bad work in the industry. It's just so accessible to everybody.
That doesn't make you special.
It's not a discipline for somebody that just orders it on Amazon and then is in the basement at a high school party just like putting marks all over people's fingers.
I think I think anybody can make a stencil, right? Anybody could spray that shit on your arm and stick the stencil on. We're all there.
Right.
And then you start, you know, maybe doing a line. Maybe some people can get away with it depending on the training. But when you start shading, and you start going over that same area, having to do it a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
You know who's doing good work because it'll turn to hamburger. If someone's just grinding in color.
And fast. It doesn't take too much trauma to make the skin just completely
suede leather.
Yeah. Right. And so you really, I mean, there's a lot more to it. Listen, it's everything from the phone call to, you know, checking in a couple of weeks and saying, look how this turned out. Because there's a lot of steps through the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
I've been tattooed and every tattoo hasn't been the same. I haven't had the same guy do every tattoo. So in the end, they weren't always good.
Yeah.
Some don't heal as well.
Sure.
And you can tell.
What I'm finding is that the expectations because of social media are just unrealistic. You see these people, like they see a TikTok or whatever, and they go, oh, I saw that tattoo. It's like whole arm.
They think they saw it on a TikTok video
or whatever.
And they just assume that you could just show up and you get
your whole arm done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's our job to be not only fast and cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
But have quality.
Well, it's also your job to actually kind of carry the tradition, though.
Yeah.
You know, and this happens to me, and I actually have to really find, like, a different Tom to be like, listen, let me try to explain what's going on here.
Right.
Because this happens with the fantasy hair, and I go, because I'm like, can't do it, stupid, it's not going to look good tomorrow, you know, and I have to check myself.
Yeah, hey, dial it back. Like,
yeah.
Because a lot of people don't realize. So I say, listen, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it look like tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like in a week? Is it going to look like shit in a week? And then am I going to be associated with it?
Right.
I appreciate you coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some suggestions or some ideas or a plan, you know, and I'm sure you're like that. Like, listen, you want to do a sleeve? That's great. This is what it's going to probably take, and this would be maybe the process. And we would love to do it,
yeah.
But let me bring you back to reality a little bit instead of freaking Instagram land.
Right, right.
And but I think it's you know, it's on us to try to be kind of cool about it.
Sure.
Because yeah, believe me, my eyes roll up in my head a few times, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't understand why I'm having to explain this.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumbass. You know. Right. And yeah. But you know, that ain't fair either.
Right. Yeah. And why would they know? They're not hairdressers or tattooers. Yeah. They see an image online. Mm-hmm. So as far as people are concerned, that's reality.
Yeah.
This person has this thing. You give me this thing too. You know, they're like, right. People come in, they're shaking. I'm sure they do it to you. They're just shaking their phone at you. Like, yeah. See this? I want this. And you're like, well, yeah, I can get there for you, but I'm not going to get there
in 20 seconds. Like, right. And
that's somebody else's work.
And it's going to be $700.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, oh. Yeah. Okay, exactly. Let me take those two tidbits of information, and right. I'll be back to you.
Yeah, like you can get a daisy tattoo,
right?
But look at our work. Our books are right there on the counter. It's like, check it out. You can see the kind of work I do. You can go to Instagram and see what I do. Mm-hmm. If you think that you would like a daisy rendered the way I do it, then I'm more than happy to do it. But if you want to bring in somebody else's daisy and have me copy that, I will, but it's a copy, right?
Well, there is
yeah, you don't want, you know what I mean, and you don't want that. You don't want nothing that's not yours. Like I tell people all the time, you don't want somebody else's daisy,
right?
Know? Yeah, you want your own.
I change it anyway because I'm like, they don't really. I mean, it's subtle changes, but right. You can't have, like I tell people all the time, like they bring in pictures of tattoos at other clients that are already done that they're very custom. And like, you can't really, I can't do that because it's just copy. You know what I mean? Right. You don't want that. You know what I mean? You want something that's a little bit, same feel, but different. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, so you're trying to make sure that people, you know, understand that there's definitely an ethic to it. You know what I mean?
Well, like, everything changes after the stencil. And that, you know, you take the same stencil on my one arm and Matt puts the same stencil on my other arm. I mean, after the stencil, it becomes a whole different world.
Oh,
and
just
the way they shade, different ways at angles, different way they hold the machines, different. And, you know, you see some artists that got a lot of great guns. You got a lot of shit's being changed. I mean, it's a whole production.
Yeah, and there's different things.
Philosophies
about it, because there's flash work, which is like, you know, the traditional way, and like there's like an eagle. And it's like the same design, but you can by transference it becomes different either way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there's these highly conceptual tattoos that I tell people, I'm like, that seems very conceptual. I can't do that because somebody, you know, paid to do that kind of concept, and it would be right for me to maybe do it a different way. You know what I mean?
I think that's what the great part of tattooing is. I love sitting down and like, oh, I got some great colors. Got some new colors. You're like, shoot, what kind of color you got? It's a new one. I got some new one. You're like, let's try it.
Yeah.
You know, I love, it's the same in the hair business. We got a new color line we're using for like toning hair, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, got great color, get some new colors. They're like, let's do it.
Yeah. And again, you're coming at it from a perspective of being a collector.
Yeah.
So you're not necessarily trying to have somebody else's tattoo. You want your tattoo as rendered by the person you picked to tattoo it.
Yeah.
So it's not even, you know, and I would hope it's a similar thing with like hairstyling.
Sure.
You like the way somebody styles hair. So you go see them in particular.
Well, and I think Chris made a good point. You have to remind people that you are doing somebody's art. So it's going to be your art. There's not like, I can't do this exactly. And it's funny. And I think when I see pictures of tattoos or whatever it is or something, people bring in pictures and I'm like, all right, what are they looking at? Right. Because you know, if it's this, you know, turned under bob with the sweeping bang with some highlights and, you know, and I'm like, what is it that you like? Is it the turn? Is it the sweeping bang? Is it the color, the gold, the lipstick, the chin line? I mean, what is it that
what
you
is about
want
this? Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Be once we do this?
Right.
And you'll find that they're like, well, I really like the lipstick. And you're like, okay. So you're just wanting to do something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like with these tattoos that I got. I was like, just do your thing, and because they all change. I mean, they're not even the same tattoos that I even had on. They've they've sort of morphosized, and I love it. Yeah. I love the art.
Yeah,
it's great, man. I mean, that's
Well, we'll have to get one of you guys to do my spot. We'll figure it out. But
yeah, we'll do it right here.
Yeah, if you want to, if you
stop,
want to do
geez,
it.
Here we go.
We do have quieter machines now, so if you wanted to do a live
well, my wife tattoo. Wants a tattoo, so we'll probably come in and get something. We had we went to Albuquerque a couple years back, and I thought about getting a hot air balloon on my arm. I do like a good hot air balloon.
Is that where they do that, Albuquerque? All those photos of hot air balloons? Is that,
yeah.
That's out there?
So
that's
cool. This year was the 50th anniversary of the hot air balloon fiesta.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I lived out there probably 4 years into it.
Yeah.
My dad was big into, we chased the balloons in this blazer cool. And through the desert. And
hey, my aunt's. No, somebody has one around here. I was just thinking about that.
So Milton used to have a little bit of balloon fiesta.
Yeah.
And it was like 5 balloons, and they would sort of tether them, I think. Because, you know, the one thing about balloons is once they go up, you don't know where the fuck they're
right.
You know, where you're going.
So, prevailing winds are going to determine where it winds up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
which might be the ocean, right?
Yeah. I'd been here a few years. They were doing the balloon fiesta here in Milton, and then for some reason they stopped. I don't know. But there are some balloons.
Yeah.
But they... A couple years ago, I think it was sort of during the pandemic, maybe before, I don't know. But they had a little balloon fiesta up at Georgetown, and they tethered them up and just let you go up. When my wife and I went to Albuquerque visited my buddy Billy, and we went chasing balloons. We're up at 5 in the morning out chasing balloons in the desert. And my wife's from New York City. She's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And we pull over, and they got the balloon down, and they get the people out, and he's like, you guys want to go for a ride? I was like... Okay, and so we jump in the balloon, and I'm freaking holding on to that bar because you could see the ground through the basket holes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, that's sketchy, okay? And off we go, and I am holding on for dear life. I mean, literally, I was so scared, and it was so awesome. 10,000.
That's cool.
I know we were at the top of the mountains, and I know the Sandias are 10,000 feet. Now, that's 10,000 feet from sea level. It's about 5,000 feet from the ground in New Mexico, but... It was amazing, and it was scary as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to put one of these on my arm because awesome. I love it. Well, listen, guys, thank you. You guys, if you ever want to come back, please come back.
Oh, right on. Come. Yeah, absolutely will. Yeah.
We can come do a tattoo. We can do a podcast tattoo. If you guys want to, we can chat about it.
Podcast, whatever. I mean, I'm down for an interesting
thing. Yeah, that'd
like
be
that.
Fun.
Yeah. Experiences.
The door is always open for you guys. If you guys got another artist someone you bring by, if you guys want to come back, all three of you, whatever. It's just a service to provide to help small businesses and
well, appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, so
it's great.
You guys are great. Yeah. I had a lot of fun chatting.
Yeah,
it was a good time, man. Like, I don't get out to see other business owners and stuff like that because I'm always in my little world. But
you got to take it 3.5 days.
Yeah,
find a nice 3.5 day chunk. Find some balance, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
You look good. I mean, you got good color. Your hair looks good. You're tall. Your tats look good. Back on your game, but
all right,
skin's a good skin.
Right, thank
you, brother. But you know, find a pay. I mean, 3.5 days. I'm working. Yeah. What am I work? I work Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and a half day Saturday.
Well, I always tell people if I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. So that's the thing. And there's days. There's times where I have to take a day off. I exaggerate sometimes, but for most of all, though, I do like what I do, and like, and once it becomes like toxic or I feel like I'm getting negative, or I'll take a break.
Yeah, start to resent it a little bit.
So long,
well, I've been up in your shop. You got a cool shop. I mean, if I was like in that business, I'd want to work at your shop and I'd want to hang out there.
Yeah,
it's you know, get the couches and it's just chill.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah.
And I'd love. It's not. Sometimes shops can be a little intimidating.
Yeah,
you know,
there's,
like,
there's a level of intimidation.
What's up? What do you need? What you need? It's like, I don't know, a butterfly?
It's, like, it's a thin line. You got to dance in it. Because, you know, you don't want people to be too comfortable, but you don't want to be an uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Behind the scenes.
No, it's just like you don't want people to not or feel like they can disrespect. Course, you know, come in like this is like Burger King or whatever, my way right away. You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
you want to make sure that they understand this is a.
We have an open close sign on the door, and when we come in, we flip it over open, and I always forget.
Yeah,
and I swear to God, people walk in, they go, sign says closed, and they go, didn't stop you. you know, here you are.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
It's always fun. It's a great way to start a conversation. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. What do we have Instagrams? Are we doing it?
Yeah, Instagram. Matt. I'm on Instagram at Matt Brownlee. Just my name, MattBrownlee.
Yeah, Matt Brownlee. I was a little confused on that. I was just thinking it was Matt Brownlee, but it's Brownlee.
Yeah, just one word.
Okay.
It's apparently Scottish. From what I hear, yeah,
voice and from the north,
yeah.
And, if you can, find everybody at Tough Luck Delaware, and yeah,
cool.
That's it. Yeah, Instagram. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Thanks for the merch.
Yeah,
no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting
appreciate you having us. Yeah,
that's awesome. You're like, what size? Like, is it a big, large, or a small XL? I'll take either.
I don't know. I
well,
that's
a joke.
I brought you.
Matt, we were like scrambling.
Yeah. Well, because I'm like in this transit. I'm like right before an XL, but.
Oh, okay. You're in transit.
Yeah. I'm trying to transition back.
They might be running a little tight, so XL is the way to go.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. So Tough Luck Tattoos out on there to, right before Grand Slam. Yep. If you need to go take the right to go take the bus, you can take the right, pull in Tough Luck, get a tattoo, and then jump on the bus.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Accessible. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
See
thank
ya.
You. Yep.